This is the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
16th to go, an American Pharoah and firing line, and it's American Pharoah pulling away late. American Pharoah rules the Derby!
Run Happy just keeps coming at him past the 16th pull. Run Happy, and boy, does this horse love to run. The aptly named Run Happy for Edgar Prado to take it.
Also sponsored by Abracadabra Farm, Adena Springs, Airdrie Stud, American Racehorse Magazine, BetAmerica.com, Brisnet.com, Cal Density, Castleton Lions, Claiborne Farm, Coolmore, Daily Racing Form, Darley, DerbyBox.com, FarmPaint.com, Flair Equine Nasal Strips, Gainsway, Jimmy John's, Kentucky Bank, Tollgate Hay and Straw, Kentucky Downs, the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, the Lexus Store of Lexington, Maryland Thoroughbred, Mill Ridge, Nicholson Insurance, Owner View, Pin Oak Stud, Ramsey Farm, Santa Anita, Spendthrift Farm, Washington Hay, and Woodbine Entertainment.
But there's no catching Wedding Toast. Wedding Toast, much the best here, all the way in the Beldame.
There will be a fourth jewel in the crown. He's an everlasting credit to the sport. American Pharoah has belted a grand slam in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Now, here's Mike Pena and Anthony Stabile.
Good morning once again, HRRN Nation, and welcome to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch, with you in our Lexington, Kentucky studios. Coming off a bit of a layoff and happy to be back in the saddle with you again this morning. Anthony Stabile, the Big A, is positioned at Aqueduct in New York, and he joins me via the marvels of technology here on HRRN. Big A, good morning, and by the way, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving, my friend.
Well, Baron, all Thanksgivings in the Big A land are phenomenal. Had a good day. I put a picture out on Facebook. I might have eaten my plate. I don't remember. It could have went down with the other spoils, but now, great holiday. Great way to kick off the holiday season, especially here in New York, even though it's been unseasonably warm up here coming into the Big A today. The security guard and I were lamenting about the fact that I don't know if they're helping me reduce like some of our jockey friends do, but it's about 4 million degrees at Aqueduct today, and it's only about 55 or 60 outside, so it's a really nice day. But it's a little warm in here right now, but it was a good holiday and best time of year in New York.
Yeah, and, you know, we want to wish all of our listeners a happy Thanksgiving as well, because we haven't been with them on this program anyways since Thanksgiving, so hope everybody enjoyed it. Now, you told me during Saratoga that you don't like turkey. So what on earth did you eat at Thanksgiving?
Oh, I ate turkey. I don't like a lot of things.
But you eat it.
I deal with it, yeah. I mean, you know, I didn't like the Royals beating the Mets in the World Series, but I dealt with it. I mean, you put turkey in front of me, I'll figure out a way to enjoy it.
We talked Thanksgiving morning, and I asked you that same question on the phone, and you said, "Yeah, I'm only going to eat a pound."
Exactly. Actually, everybody would be very proud. Since this throat issue, which is coming along, by the way, thankfully, I've lost about 24 pounds, and I will fully admit it is by no means of my own. I just can't eat as much and as quickly, so I have been, the hand of God has reached down and just slowed the Big A down. It's really not it doesn't help the holiday numbers, that's for sure. Mama has a lot more leftovers in the fridge than she's useful. She actually looked at me at one point, she was like, "You didn't put on your usual Thanksgiving performance." And I was like, "Gee, thanks. Kick a guy when he's down."
Yeah, well, there's nothing you could do about it. But, you know, you have to be careful, Big A, because you are the Big A. And you have to be careful not to go too light, right?
Listen, I'm sure I got more food stuck in my teeth Thursday night than you ate all day Thursday, so you don't have to worry about me. I'll be fine. No, there's no – we have a little A. Acacia Court needs a little A. She'll join me later on today for our Cigar Mile coverage. Don't worry. Her job's safe. The little A title is safe.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. And you're right. That coverage coming up this afternoon, 2 to 4 Eastern, here on the network. You can listen to it exclusively on our website, horseracingradio.net. And that means you can stream it on your smartphone, your tablet, whatever it may be. That's at horseracingradio.net. And listen to that Cigar Mile coverage. It's going to be a great day of racing at Aqueduct. Four graded stakes, including that Grade 1 Cigar Mile. And Big A, let's talk about that for a minute, because you have the defending champ in Private Zone, who is looking to join Congaree as the only two-time winner of the Cigar Mile. And, of course, Congaree did it in consecutive years in 2002 and 2003. Look, and then you have Tonalist, who, as we know, is as classy as they come. I know you're a huge Tonalist fan, but Private Zone looks like he could take a little beating in there.
Yeah, you know, Private Zone's coming into this race a little different than he did last year. Namely, off of, I think he ran much tougher in the Breeders' Cup this year than he did last year. You know, he did a lot of the dirty work early on, made the lead, couldn't really hold off Run Happy, but you could tell he was digging in. And I think that Breeders' Cup sprint took a whole lot out of him. Plus, last year, Mike, if you remember, it was a highway here for a couple of days, namely Cigar Mile Day, and, you know, they wrap up Holiday Fest here at the Big A today. There was a pronounced bias on Thursday, an inside speed bias that looked like it was going to be all roses for Private Zone today. That bias was tossed on its ear yesterday. Pretty even track. If anything, you want it to be outside and coming from off the pace. So I don't think he's going to have the racetrack he had last year. Like I said, I think that Breeders' Cup race took a little more out of him this year than it did last year. And let's be honest, he's a year older. So, and I think the inclusion of Marking, who was very interesting, from Kieran McLaughlin. We had Kieran McLaughlin on the Express Pick Radio program the day after Marking and Mohamed. They went on the same card on opening day here at Aqueduct. And he mentioned running Marking right in the Cigar Mile. He mentioned Marking and Watershed. And he mentioned running both of them. And Marking's in here, and that's a big move for a guy like Kieran McLaughlin, who's usually very conservative, going from an A of an N to a Grade 1.
How about the fact that FNX came back and won the Grade 1 Clark at Churchill yesterday? We saw FNX finish second behind American Pharoah in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Tonalist, as we know, was fifth in that race. Tonalist adding blinkers today for Christophe Clément, and he comes back as probably the main danger to Private Zone in that Cigar Mile. Flattered by FNX yesterday, what do we make a Tonalist in this spot?
Well, you know, his owner, Bob Evans, has really been looking to get him a Grade 1 win at a mile. And we could talk to Christophe about this, who we'll have on a little later on. But I think Christophe would have much rather run Tonalist in more distance races this year. I know there was a point of contention about the start of the season. I'm pretty sure Christophe wanted to run in the Pimlico Special, which is a mile and 3/16, and Evans wanted to run him in the Westchester as a prep for the Met Mile. And look, his mile races, that Westchester that he ran on Derby Day at Belmont, it yielded his highest buyer speed figure anyway of his entire career, a 111. And then he came back and run a real good second to Honor Code. Nobody was beating Honor Code. You and I watched that race together on our Belmont Stakes coverage. Nobody in the world was beating Honor Code that day.
Yep.
So if you look at his mile races, they're competitive. He's back to New York, and, you know, I don't know if he's a New York horse. He broke his maiden at Gulfstream. He's run some decent races at Gulfstream. Maybe Tonalist is a New York horse, though. I love the blinkers going back on, because I think it'll make him a little more focused. But I think the race is going to work out in his favor with Private Zone outside. And like I said, Marking from the inside, I think Marking's going to put some pressure on early. I think they'll go fast, and I think Tonalist is going to work out a real nice trip today.
Tonalist, one of two horses entered by Christophe Clément in that Cigar Mile this afternoon. He also sends out Red Vine, who is very classy and a horse that could be dangerous in that race later today. That is one of four graded stakes races on that Saturday program at Aqueduct, including the Demoiselle, the Remsen, the Cumley and now the Cigar Mile. And as we mentioned, that coverage coming up this afternoon from 2 to 4 Eastern Time. You can listen exclusively at horseracingradio.net. Now, in case you're wondering, we are edging closer to the first Saturday in May, which means we are just 161 days, 9 hours, 23 minutes, and 47 seconds away from the Run for the Roses. And there are some Kentucky Derby implications, at least in the races that we're going to see at Churchill Downs and at Aqueduct this afternoon with those two-year-old races. Of course, Kentucky Oaks implications as well. Some races that are points races. We're going to tell you about those as we move throughout the program. We'll update you on the current standings for the Kentucky Derby and the Kentucky Oaks as we move throughout the next 2 hours as we visit with special guest Christophe Clement, who joins us in just about 4 or 5 minutes from right now. And then trainer Ken McPeak will be here right around 9 o'clock Eastern time, and he is going to be extremely busy at Churchill this afternoon with so many of his promising young juveniles. We'll talk to him about those horses coming up in the second half of the program. Mike D'Anzaris from Embrace the Race will be here for his customary visit in late November to tell you all about, well, shopping for that horse racing fan on your list. You should do it at EmbraceTheRace.com. It's the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle, and I can promise you, you will not find a better gift for that racing fan on your gift on your list than at EmbraceTheRace.com. All right, we're going to get to our first commercial break. We will be back to visit with trainer Christophe Clement next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Lane's End.
Adina Springs added Macho Uno's best son, Mucho Macho Man, to their stallion roster for the 2015 breeding season. And with 95% of his mares getting in foal, he certainly took to his new job well. Mucho Macho Man earned $5.6 million on the track, culminating in his thrilling victory in the 2013 Breeders' Cup Classic over Will Take Charge and Declaration of War.
On the outside, Declaration of War, Will Take Charge. Mucho Macho Man just keeps on finding on the lead. Will Take Charge, a late drop. Oh, that's close. Mucho Macho Man, the more they asked, the more he gave.
Few horses can be multiple graded placed at two, run in all three legs of the Triple Crown, and then go on to become a Breeders' Cup Classic winner as an older horse. And all this from a foal born June 15th. Visit AdinaStallions.com to learn more about Mucho Macho Man and all the Adina Stallions.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Kitten's Joy.
Big Blue Kitten wins the United Nations for the second time in 3 years.
A champion sire.
And Stephanie's Kitten has won the Flower Bowl.
The number one turf sire in America.
Bobby's Kitten like a rocket out of nowhere.
Kitten's Joy, one of the premier stallions in North America, continues to produce young rising stars, including impressive debut winner Camelot Kitten, a full brother to Breeders' Cup winner Bobby's Kitten. Kitten's Joy, standing at Ramsey Farm. This afternoon, Gulfstream Park West celebrates closing day with 6 stakes races and mandatory payouts on all pools. Next Saturday, racing returns to Gulfstream Park with the 17th Claiming Crown offering $1.1 million in purses to kick off the championship meet. Plus, all fans attending the opening day races receive a free 2016 wall calendar. Post time during the championship meet is 12:05 on Saturdays and 12:35 all other live racing days. Visit GulfstreamPark.com. A multiple Eclipse champion with more than $6.1 million in earnings.
How about that? Gio Ponti will go back to the winner's circle today.
Gio Ponti's first crop of yearlings were in high demand, while a colt by Gio Ponti topped the first session of the OBS Fall Mix Sale, selling to Conquest Stables after working 3/8 in 33 flat. All of this coming on the heels of his impressive maiden winner, Pirolone, at Belmont Park. Champion Gio Ponti, standing at Castleton Lions.
Kale Density announces a revolutionary gastrointestinal guard and aid for all classes and all ages of horses. A natural registered animal feed product, it comes as a single dose disposable syringe or a handy top dress squeeze pouch. Field trials on Kale Density Digestive Aid have returned 100% favorable results as observed by their trainers and owners, and the cost is half of what horsemen are accustomed to paying. Kale Density Digestive Aid will be available in mid-November, or you can order online at kaledensity.com.
Okay, this is Carl Nasker, and I listen to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They're coming for the quarter pole, and three of them across the track, Long River, Moreno, Big Casanova, now dropping back. Here comes Zevo, V.E. Day on the outside, Tonalist looking to come on through. They're coming down for the eighth pole, and it is Long River. And Tonalist now moves to the outside and has some run. Long River and Tonalist and Zevo with a 16th to the wire. And it's going to be Tonalist returning to the scene of his Belmont Stakes victory to capture the Jockey Club Gold Cup. Zevo was second and Long River finished third.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna in our Lexington studios. The Big A, Anthony Stabile, is at Aqueduct, and we are taking you through the next 2 hours here this morning. Don't forget that next Saturday we will make the trip back down to Gulfstream Park in Hallandale Beach, Florida, to bring you our exclusive coverage of the Claiming Crown on opening day of the championship meet at Gulfstream. That coverage kicks off 3 o'clock Eastern time, and I will be reunited with the pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, who is, of course, enjoying a little time off here this morning. That call by John Embriel, the first of two consecutive victories in the Jockey Club Gold Cup for Tonalist. He is a horse that has earned more than $3.1 million. He has won 6 of 15 lifetime starts, and he's back in action this afternoon in the Cigar Mile Handicap, of course trained by Christophe Clement, who has had so much success in a storied career, and looking for a victory in that race with Tonalist or with Red Vine. He'll take it either way, and he joins us now on the Equine Forum on HRRN. Christophe, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Thank you for taking a little time. Let's start with Tonalist here for a minute. We heard the call of the first of two consecutive victories in the Jockey Club Gold Cup. You know, here's a horse that has been so, so good for you. What makes him so special?
Well, he just runs a bit faster than most horses, I guess. That's the reason. he's a better horse. He runs faster. He keeps his forms, and even his lesser races are usually good races.
He comes back in today's Cigar Mile. Why this spot for Tonalist coming out of that effort in the Breeders' Cup Classic?
Well, the idea was to run him the Breeders' Cup and then either to retire or give him some time. And he came back to Belmont, but he trained very well. I called Mr. Evans, and I was trying to find a reason about not to run. But he's very sound, he looks great, he's eating well, he had a nice breeze last Saturday. So really, on paper, everything is there. The horse looks good. We're not going to run him 10 times this year, just the last start, and then put him away, go to Payson Park. And, he looks great. He does not look at all like a horse at the end of the year. So I think it makes sense. I thought the race in the Met Mile was a very good race. Obviously it's a great one in New York. It's very competitive. You have very good horses in the race, but it's a fun race to run him, and we'll go from there.
Christophe, it's Anthony. You mentioned his race in the Met Mile. As a Belmont Stakes winner, you sometimes will get the stigma of being more of a distance horse, of a marathon horse. Of course, he's won the Jockey Club Gold Cup twice. Talk to me a little bit about trying to get that grade one win at the mile. Now this is your second crack at a grade one at a mile this year.
Well, usually, they're not the same kind of horses, but when they're that good, then they can adapt. And, it's the same when I trained Giaponte. Giaponte won grade one from a mile to a mile and a half. And Tonalist is the same. He's a very good horse. He might be better suited by a Belmont Park mile and a quarter. But he's good enough to compete against the best of the mind. And that's what makes really good horses.
Christophe, what does it mean for a horse that has had so much success like Tonalist to get that Grade 1 win at a mile if you're looking down the road to his stallion career?
For us on the track, we all know he's a nice horse. People, you know, in Kentucky, the breeders, you know, they put an enormous emphasis on the mile race because over the years, you know, the mile Grade 1 have produced so many good stallions. And so that's the reason why it means it's so meaningful for them to win a Grade 1 over a mile.
Christoph Moot, switching gears from Tonalist to Red Vine, you've always had high expectations for Red Vine, spent the better part of his career on the turf, and then by chance you left him in an off-the-turfer here late last year at Aqueduct, and he exploded
actually not
with
really,
a big victory.
Tell you the truth, he started working very well on dirt since September of 2014. His works were much better. I never understood why. The idea was to run him on dirt, but we thought it would be even an easier race if it was an off-the-turf. So it happened that, you know, that race was an off-the-turf race, and we started him from there. But he never worked that well early on in his life. His works were very average on dirt, and he's got very dodgy feet. So we just thought the grass was a bit kinder. And sometimes it happens, and as he got stronger, his works became, you know, like superior works. And I've been very aggressive on him, as you can see in his form. I probably threw him, you know, in some of the toughest races of the year. I could have been a bit more conservative yet again today, but I mean, in earnest, he trains so well, he's always so competitive, that I mean, he deserved to win a race such as this one. So I just thought, you know, we ought to give him a chance and see what happens.
It seems like he likes the one turn as well.
I agree, because you usually get more pace, even if I hope we get some pace today. That will be my biggest worry for the two horses. You know, I just hope that private zone is not too easy on the lead, otherwise it'll be very tough. But if we get some kind of pace, then we should be fine.
You know, Christoph, you've had so much success with various types of runners, with turf horses. You mentioned the name Gio Ponti. With turf horses, with dirt horses, young horses, you do very well with your young horses. You do well with older horses. What is it about your program that's allowed you to have so much success with all different types of horses?
First of all, I think, you know, it's not really up to the trainer. Just, we're only as good as what the horses that we get. I'm a lucky guy in a way that I train for great people who send me good horses. It makes my life much easier. And then you just try to apply, just to be as rational as you can and do the best you can. But nothing can happen if we don't have the right horses in the barn. So I'm just a very lucky guy to train for the right people.
Christoph, the plan is to keep Tonalist in training next year, is that correct?
Correct.
And I'm assuming a little freshening after this race. Would you
correct the two horses
that
you at the moment? I will check with both owners. But the two horses that are supposed to go to Payson Park on Monday, arriving Tuesday, they both will have a break, and we'll bring them back whenever during the winter. I don't know.
Christoph, how about the addition of blinkers or the blinkers going back on with Tonalist today? Talk about that decision.
I'm just saying, if you go at a mile, I want him to be a touch more consistent in his race. We did it in Westchester in the Met Mile. If you go further, I don't think he needs the blinkers. We are going to run him at a mile just to keep him focused a little bit. It can't be, you know, it should just help him a little bit. I think it's a bigger help for Johnny just to give him a touch more early on in the race.
Visiting with trainer Christoph Clement on the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Christoph, let's fast forward to tomorrow, and you're going to be busy on the West Coast at Del Mar with a pair of horses entered in the Grade 1 Matriarch, Hard Not to Like and Stellar Path. Hard Not to Like bypassed the Breeders' Cup, and she comes into this as a very fresh horse. Talk to me about her.
No, she's doing well. It's the last race. She's going to be retired as a broodmare afterwards. She looks great. When she's right, she can compete with anybody. And I'm excited to see her run. She drew the 1-all, which on the turf, I think, is not a problem. And the other filly, Stellar Path, won a Grade 3 last time. Same story. She's trained well. It's a little bit ambitious, obviously, to go in a Grade 1. We'll be delighted even if we get placed in a Grade 1. And the works have been good. So, I mean, you know, it's the last race of the year for that kind of horses. And she probably will remain in training next year. And there's, you know, you just have to take a chance once in a while. When they're doing well and they're sound and they look good, you've got to take a chance.
Will you make the trip out to Del Mar?
Yes, I'm flying there tomorrow morning, and I'll be back, I guess, Monday morning.
The life of a trainer. Christoph Clement, one of the best that there is in the game today, and he has been ultra-consistent in that stellar career for a very long time. Christoph, really do appreciate the visit here this morning. All the best this afternoon, and all the best tomorrow as well. Safe travels.
you.
Christoph Gallant here on HRN. And, of course, like all of our guests who appear on the program, will receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It is the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle, as classy and alluring as the game itself. You can embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. Busy man. How about that trip? Flying out to the West Coast, heading right back. Maybe a huge weekend, too, if he can pull off a win in the Grade 1 Cigar Mile and then come back with the Grade 1 Matriarch at Del Mar tomorrow. It would be well worth the trip.
Yeah, he doesn't mess around. He is one of the, you know, when we're doing our countdown shows, Belmont Week, I sometimes host Breakfast at Belmont. If I had a dollar for every step Christoph Clément took in the mornings, you know, Belmont main track side, I'd be a very rich man. I certainly wouldn't have to get up at 7 o'clock to co-host the Equine Forum with you, Barrett. He's always on the move. He watches every single set go out. Not that the other trainers don't, but you could set your watch to Christoph Clément and Kieran McLaughlin in the cafeteria at Belmont trackside, watching each and every one of their runners out every single day. You know, Tonalist has had that up and down kind of year. The suburban trip was one of the worst trips I had ever seen. And I walked over to Christoph the next morning. I was hosting Breakfast at Belmont, and I said, "Hey, if I start reducing now, can I ride him back in the Whitney?" And he stone-faced me for about 3 seconds. And then that Cheshire Cat smile of his popped on his face. And he said, "You know, Tony, you're the only one that could have got me to smile this morning." Because Tonalist really has had one of those up-and-down kind of years. He defended his title in the Jockey Club Gold Cup. But, you know, just keep in mind, Mike, that if he could win this Cigar Mile today, he'd have Grade 1 wins at a mile and a quarter, and a mile and a half. That's very rare this day and age.
Well, you say he's had an up-and-down kind of year. Maybe the fact that he hasn't won in some of these spots that he's been expected to win might be the reason that you're saying that. But look at what he's done this year, Big A. I mean, he comes back here on May 2nd of 2015, right? That was his 2015 debut. He wins the Westchester. He comes back. He's second in the Met Mile. He's second beaten ahead in the Suburban. He's third in the Whitney. He wins the Jockey Club Gold Cup, and then, of course, we know he didn't run all that great in the Breeders' Cup Classic when he was fifth behind American Pharoah. But to me, that's not an up-and-down year. That's an ultra-consistent year for Tonalist.
You and I look at it as a consistent year and a successful year, but I feel the court of public opinion has never given this horse his due.
Because of the fact that he's considered to be a Belmont-loving horse, and he hasn't had the same success away from Belmont. Agreed?
Right, but I would agree, but his races in Saratoga haven't embarrassed him at all. I mean,
no.
He was second in the Jim Dandy, third after chasing Byron inexplicably in the Travers that year. And then this year, you know, that was a good effort in the Whitney. If I would have told you that turning for home or at the half-mile pole, Tonalist would be behind Honor Code, you would have told me I was nuts.
Yep.
But that was exactly the case. And he really, if you look at that Whitney and go back and watch that race, he outkicks Honor Code from the 3/8 pole to the wire. He just had too much to do to get him. So, you know, I feel like, and again, this is a horse that's near and dear to my heart and my pocket, to be completely, if we're being honest here. So I'm probably going to defend him a little more than the next guy. But, you know, Christoph mentioned Gioponti. And Gioponti was one of my favorites because Gioponti showed up, and that was it. I feel like this horse is the same way. You know, he had a really weird trip in the Breeders' Cup. People don't look at that trip. He bobbled against the gate. He had some against the rail, I should say. He hit the rail at one point, and he was bottled up inside. And the one thing about Tonalist, if he has an Achilles heel, it's get him outside. And he's drawn well enough today. It's a smaller field. I don't think any of that will be an issue today.
And again, the blinker is going on. Christoph referencing the fact that he wants this horse to be just a little bit more focused in that respect. So the blinkers go back on. Tonalist, this is a horse that's run very well with blinkers in the past. So I don't think there's certainly any concern there of him, you know, kind of going the other direction, so to speak, with the equipment change. If anything, it may enhance him and put him into a spot where you know, he could make that big run and get first jump on some of the real late runners in this spot. But it's all about private zone. They have to run him down if they're going to win the Cigar Mile this afternoon. And, of course, all that coverage coming up from 2 to 4 Eastern time here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You can listen to the Big A and the Little A, Acacia Courtney, as they broadcast live from Aqueduct, that exclusive coverage, 2 to 4 Eastern, and all there for you, streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net. And that means that you can listen on your smartphone, your tablet as well. And if you have the Horse Races Now app, you can listen, as we are one of the channel partners there, you can listen live on the Horse Races Now app. So no reason not to tune in to today's Cigar Mile here on the network. It should be a really, really good race. Going to get to our Lexus Legends of the Turf segment, brought to you every Saturday at this time by the Lexus store of Lexington. And then we'll come back with more on the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End.
It wasn't planned that way, but it turned out to be a promoter's dream. The event was the Trenton Handicap at Garden State in New Jersey in November of 1957. The question before the race might well have been, who will wear the crown? After all, the Miss America contest was held in the same state, and in this race, the three outstanding colts in America at the time, Round Table, Bull Ruler, and Gallant Man, were ready to answer the call to post for the mile and a quarter test. Two of the horses were locked in a struggle for not only the two-year-old crown, but Horse of the Year as well, Round Table and Gallant Man. The third member of that troika, although very good, considered a tag-along, was Bold Ruler. The cast of characters for the drama about to unfold bears closer verbal scrutiny. Round Table was a small, very powerful son of Prince Quillo out of Knight's Daughter by Sir Cosmo. He'd done everything asked of him and more. And against all comers, those with speed, those with distance durability, and those that were older. He'd won 11 in a row on any kind of racing surface all over the country. He was a slashing speedster, especially at middle distances. He set a track record of 158-3 in the mile and a quarter Hollywood Gold Cup and was the only three-year-old ever to win it. He'd equaled the track record at Hawthorne for the same distance in winning that Gold Cup and set a new mark at Keeneland for 1 1/8 miles. Owned by Travis Kerr, trained by Willie Moulter, the only chink in his armor was not a particular fondness for an off-track, and the track at Garden State on this day was rated as good. Gallant Man was a small, sturdy son of Majoli out of Majida by Mahmood, obviously English inbreeding and quite formidable at that. Very versatile, superb stamina, acknowledged as the best in the East. It equaled Tropical's 6-furlong record with a blistering 109-2, smashed the American 1 1/2 mile record at Belmont, and the 9-furlong track mark at Belmont as well. He'd won the Jockey Club Gold Cup at 2 miles, lost a heartbreaker in the Derby through a rider error, that was the infamous Shoemaker misjudgment of the finish line, and he had swapped wins with Dedicated, the Nassau County, and the Woodward. Both of the latter were weight for age. Owned by Ralph Lowe, trained by the highly capable Johnny Nayrud, the possible chink in his armor was also an apparent less than zestful liking for an off-track. Bold Ruler was considered the uninvited guest, as it were, akin to Sheridan and Whiteside in The Most Entertaining Man Who Came to Dinner, a role quite remarkably well played by Monty Woolley, by the way. Bold Ruler was the sometimes erratic son of Nasrullah out of Miss Disco by Discovery. He had proven he could carry a lot of weight, having done so in winning the Bahamas, Flamingo, Wood Memorial, a race in which, by the way, he defeated Gallant Man in track record time, the Preakness, the Jerome, the Vosburgh, and the Queens County. He appeared to have lost his edge through the summer, encountering difficulty going over a mile and an eighth. Very speedy out of the gate indeed he was, owned by Mrs. Henry Carnegie Phipps and trained by the legendary Sonny Jim Fitzsimmons. Possible flaw? He had not done well at all in previous attempts at 10 furlongs and had been demolished by Gallant Man at 12 furlongs. Bold Ruler in this race, as expectedly, broke very quickly with Heady Eddie Arcaro in the saddle and went on out to set the early fractions. Round Table swerved and broke in a tangle, Gallant Man away in good order. Into the clubhouse turn, Bold Ruler opened a 3.5-length lead, but that too had been expected, with Round Table second, 3 lengths in front of Gallant Man. Bold Ruler cut the first hop in 47 and run, running freely and pulling off to an open 5-length lead. At the far turn, Bold Ruler had not let up one single bit, and he had an 8-length lead. The very astute Arcaro now began to look back for the expected challenges. Gallant Man made a bit of a run around the turn to come abreast of Round Table, and those two matched strides while slowly closing in on Bold Ruler. Roundtable was the first to give up the chase, but Gallant Man closed to within two lengths of Bold Ruler, but they were in mid-stretch by that time, and Arcaro still had some horse left. He hand-rode Bold Ruler to the wire to a two-length win. It had been Bold Ruler's day. Not the way the experts figured it, but races often turn out that way. For example, the 1930 Travers, when the question had been Gallant Fox or which one or Gallant Fox. Well, it turned out to be neither. It was Jim Dandy then at 100-1, and it had been Bold Ruler on this particular day. A solid victory for not the man who came to dinner, but the horse who came to race in November of 1957 in the Trenton Handicap, and he did indeed leave wearing a crown.
And my late mentor Pete Kulis with your Lexus Legends of the Turf story for this morning. Of course, don't forget that if you have not been in to see The Godfather, Tony Ottaviano, at the Lexus store of Lexington, well, first of all, you're probably in the minority, because I know that so many of you have gone in and talked to him, and so many of you are Lexus customers because of this very same program. Want to thank you for that, and want to encourage you, if you have not been in to see The Godfather, go see him. It's the Lexus store of Lexington. They're on the corner of New Circle and Liberty, and I promise you, from the minute you walk in the door, you'll be treated like a king, you'll be treated like a queen. They will take care of you at the Lexus store of Lexington.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the Godfather, Tony Ottaviano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
And love the way you are. Have run by.
Here's Arch, Arch, Arch.
Honeymoon handicap goes to Saren.
International Grade 1 sire Arch has sired over 17% stakes horses. He is the sire of champions in four countries, including Eclipse champion Blaine. And his daughters have already produced two Eclipse champions. Arch, championship sire at Claiborne Farm.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Power.
Caracondi, the favorite in front. The Spaniard, News of Canarias, is fighting back. Caracondi has won.
Passion.
Prestige Vendome is making him fight all the way towards the line. It's Caracondi winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Caracondi with a rush on the outside goes Bantam. Lead run from Adam Dahl. Caracondi and O'Dahl. Caracondi.
Gainesway is home to North America's leading sire, Tappet, and is proud to announce the addition of multiple group and grade one winner, Caracondi. One of the leading juveniles in Europe, Caracondi won the Group 1 Grand Criterium with a time form rating of 115, and at 3, he scored impressively in the Group 1 French 2000 Guineas and stormed home to win the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Mile at Santa Anita. Caracondi, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Airdrie Stud is proud to introduce Summer Front for the 2016 breeding season.
Summer Front and Joe Bravo have won.
A multiple graded stakes winning millionaire by the Great War Front, Summerfront began his career as an undefeated multiple stakes winner at 2 before going on to win graded stakes at 3, 4, and 5, boasting a top-class pedigree and the jaw-dropping looks that made him a $475,000 sales horse. The explosiveness, the looks, and the pedigree to be a truly important sire. Airdrie Studs Summerfront. Think about it.
This is Al Stahl, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And they're all chasing Private Zone, who has the lead at the head of the stretch. Private Zone ran three quarters in 108-1. He's trying to go wire to wire in the Cigar Mile. Secret Circle in second, then Regally Ready, Bourbon Courage, Vijack, and Big Business. Private Zone put on the lead at the start by Martin Pedroza, and he's won the Cigar Mile in front-running fashion. The time was 1:34.15.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Anthony Stabile, taking you through the show this morning. Private Zone, returning in the Cigar Mile. That was last year's race that you just heard. John Embriel had the call, and he's looking to join Congaree as the only two-time winner of the Cigar Mile. Of course, Congaree did it in consecutive years as well. We'll see if Private Zone can pull it off, and you'll hear that race exclusively on the Horse Racing Radio Network beginning at 2 o'clock Eastern Time this afternoon. The Big A, Anthony Stabile, and the Little A, Acacia Courtney, will have you covered live from Aqueduct, 2 to 4 Eastern Time. And don't forget, you can stream that worldwide anywhere you may be, on your smartphone, your tablet, or on your computer, horseracingradio.net. Next weekend, I'm reunited with the Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, as we make our way back to Gulfstream Park for opening day of the championship meet. We'll bring you exclusive coverage of the Claiming Crown beginning at 3 o'clock Eastern Time. All of that coverage presented by Kitten's Joy, standing at Ramsey Farm. And, of course, Ken Ramsey, no doubt, going to be a major player in the Claiming Crown races. He will join us on this program next Saturday morning, so make sure you circle that on your calendar, because Big A, as you know, it is always great radio when Ken Ramsey is aboard.
Absolutely. I had the opportunity to interview Mr. Ramsey for the first time with Jude Feld earlier this year. We pinch it for you on the Sequin Forum, and we were able, I think it was one of the Super Saturdays here in New York. It was a lot of fun. But getting back to today, Barrett, did you know they used to have an actual media mile foot race at Aqueduct on Cigar Mile? It used to be Naira Mile Day. They renamed it after Cigar a few years back, but they used to have an actual media foot race.
Did you ever run it?
Well, I was going to say, if HRN wanted to field a team, or foot a team, if you will.
Do you have to run the whole mile, like, or is it one of those things where you run, then you pass the baton and let somebody else take the next furlong?
It was a relay race. Yeah, it was a relay race.
Okay.
I feel like the relay race would be Acacia to Acacia to Acacia to Acacia to Acacia, and then maybe we'll just let Acacia finish it.
What about Bloom? Does he get a mention in there? Or Clancy?
Bloom's got a... Well, Clancy, yeah. I mean, Clancy's... I guess Clancy. Bloom's... Our friend Jeff Bloom has a big day out in California.
I know he does.
He's going to be able to... if he'd be able to get the last eighth of a mile for us. But I think we just hand it off to Acacia and let her do all the dirty work. She'd have to chase the pace and come closing late.
No doubt. It'd be all about the fillies for us. There's no doubt about that. What about, he has Soul Driver and he has Majestic City, both entered in the stakes races at Del Mar this afternoon. So good luck to Jeff Bloom, our colleague with the Horse Racing Radio Network and with Bloom Racing.
Yeah, in Dortmund, I don't know. Dortmund didn't ship for the Clark because of a quarter crack, according to his trainer, Bob Baffert. So I am not a big proponent of betting horses or selecting horses that have quarter cracks or any sort of issue like that. So he might be right for the pickings. And I know a couple of horses, Big Casanova and one of the others in that Native Diver field, are cross-entered tomorrow up at Golden Gate. So maybe Majestic City can... and get a short field and pull off a mild upset out in California today.
Ken McPeak set to join us in just about 15 or 16 minutes from right now. That is at 9 o'clock Eastern time. Ken is going to be a very busy man at Churchill this afternoon. He saddles multiple juvenile runners, including two in the Goldenrod and then Rated R Superstar in the Kentucky Jockey Club. So we'll talk with him about all the action that he has upcoming this afternoon here in the Bluegrass. But first, Big A, I want to talk to you about some two-year-olds. But before we do that, let's pause for a second, because I have to tell our listeners about Lane's End, because, of course, not only are they the title sponsor of this program for the next several months, and our thanks to Lane's End for all of their support, but when you look at what they've done as a 13-time leading stud farm, it's quite remarkable. Lane's End has a proven track record of turning young stallions into leading sires. You take, like, the Factor, for example. The top freshman sire by a yearling average, how about this? That's 15 times his stud fee. Or Union Rags, a grade one winning two-year-old and classic winning three-year-old who became the leading freshman sire by weanling average in 2014 and whose first yearlings realized up to $460,000. Then there's Twirling Candy, 2015's leading freshman sire by winners and two-year-old average, and Quality Road, the leading first crop sire by earnings and graded stakes winners in 2014. When it comes down to it, Lane's End stallions are made for success. To learn more about breeding opportunities, simply visit lanesend.com. There's probably going to be a couple of the young two-year-olds running today that Lane's End will have an eye on, not just because they're going to be sons or daughters of their stallions, but maybe as future stallion prospects. And that's the beauty of these races that we're going to see coming up both at Churchill and at Aqueduct later today.
Yeah, lots of good two-year-old racing today. For Colts and Phillies, the Colt race to Remsen probably drew a little better here in New York than the Demoiselle, but, man, both of those races down at Churchill Downs today, packed with a lot of contenders, a lot of rising stars, if you will, and looking forward to all the two-year-old racing today. But really keeping an eye on the Remsen here in New York, I think. And, you know, last year, if you think about it, just a couple of horses who ran in the Remsen, Frosted and Keen Ice, they had a pretty major impact on the Triple Crown Trail this year. Of course, American Pharoah, the biggest, but, you know, Frosted and Keen Ice behind them in the Belmont Stakes. And, for, of course, Keen Ice, the only horse to beat them this season, American Pharoah. So the Remsen yielded some pretty interesting runners last year. A couple of years ago, we had Cairo Prince, Wicked Strong, and the winner Honor Code, speaking of Lane's End, come out of the Remsen. So it's a race that a lot of people say, well, it's a month after the Breeders' Cup, and the Breeders' Cup's over with, and, you know, you don't see much. But those are two pretty good bunches to come out of the last 2 years of the Remsen, Banner.
Yeah, the Remsen always produces nice horses, and a lot of the buzz horses for the road to the Kentucky Derby each and every year race in the Remsen. We'll see them go to Florida. We'll see them go to Louisiana. Some maybe even out to California to prep for the Run for the Roses. The Kentucky Jockey Club is kind of in that same light. And you look back on the history of the Kentucky Jockey Club and you see names like Super Saver, who used this as a springboard to win the Kentucky Derby about 5 years ago. And you look at this year's field, Big A, and it's a big field in the Kentucky Jockey Club. We mentioned that Ken McPeak will join us in shortly after 9 o'clock Eastern, and he has Rated R Superstar going to the post in there. But it's a field of 14 horses that have been entered, and a 7-2, check that, 3-1 morning line favorite in number 3 Aeroforce for trainer Mark Cassie, who, interestingly enough, is going to be trying dirt for the very first time.
Yeah, you know, Pedigree says there's plenty of dirt there, Colonel John out of a Koofy mare, so that shouldn't be a problem. Mark Cassie could, and I know I'm big enough to be a horse, but could put a saddle on me right now, and I wouldn't be higher than 8-1. So the way he's been going, I mean, all, you know, in all seriousness, this horse, to me, has the right running style for the dirt. He's not one of these hopeless closers that you often see on the turf, so it's not surprising to me, because he obviously has an abundance of talent. It's not surprising to me that he's going to try dirt. And this is a pretty good spot to do it. You know, this horse has been based in Kentucky his entire life. In fact, based at Churchill Downs, seems to, according to his work tab anyway, really like the surface down here. It's nothing spectacular, but it's solid, to say the least. And it's an interesting spot. I mean, I'm sure Mark didn't want to see 14 in the entry box, but that's what happens in the KJC every year. There's always a big field. That's what's going to happen when you're putting up the money. It's $200,000 on the line, and it's certainly going to happen, we've talked about this, when you put up those Derby points, because it doesn't matter when you get them. It matters that you get them.
Yep.
And if you get them now or you get them next year, you have to start accumulating these points. And this is a great springboard, like you used the word earlier. It's a great word, especially when it comes to these two-year-olds. It's a good springboard to grab some points and jockey for that early position on the points list. And then, again, in that quarter public opinion, you know, these owners and trainers, they like to see their horses being talked about, especially when it comes to the Run for the Roses.
10 points awarded to the winner of the Kentucky Jockey Club and the Remsen at Aqueduct today. 4 points for second, 2 for third, and you get 1 point if you finish fourth in either of those races. Same thing with the filly races, the Demoiselle and the Goldenrod, the same point structure. So, yeah, those 10 points, even the 4 points for second, are huge. And, it, you know, hey, who knows? You finish fourth, you get the 1 point. You have a couple of big races coming up next year, obviously, several big races. If you can run a big race or two, and that 1 point doesn't sound like a lot right now, but as you said, it matters that you get them and you put them in the bankroll, and then that 1 point could be the difference between you making the 20-horse field for the Kentucky Derby or sitting in the 21st position and being on the outside looking in come the first Saturday in May. If you're wondering about how the top 10 stacks up at this moment, well, you have undefeated Nyquist, winner of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, who, as you would expect, is the leader. He has 30 points. Exaggerator sits in second with 16. You have Brody's Cause in third with 14 points. Swipe is in the fourth position with 12. Greenpoint Crusader in fifth with 10. And then you also have Cocked and Loaded with 10. Riker with 10. Sunny Ridge is sitting in the eighth position with 8. Rated R Superstar, who we mentioned, trained by Ken McPeak, who will be here in a few minutes, sitting in the ninth position with 6, and Cassiopeia rounds out the top 10 with 4 points for that Kentucky Derby. And, of course, the Derby edging ever closer, as you might expect. Now just 161 days, 8 hours, 42 minutes, and 5 seconds until that Run for the Roses.
2 countdowns in less than an hour. I'm a little
Do I already have Derby fever?
Well, I mean, I have Derby fever the minute they hit the wire for the Derby. I mean, you're always looking. It's one of the things that, you know, look, unless something really crazy happens, like 5 Mega Millions numbers in the Mega Ball, I'm never going to own a Derby winner. I'm allergic to 5 o'clock in the morning, so I'm never going to train a Derby winner. But, you know, I've picked a Derby winner, and it's fun. It's a lot of fun to do it. It's, you know, you get a nice little recognition. It's good for the pocket. It's good for the ego. So you're always looking for the Derby winner, because there are very few races that my friends who are not racing fans, and yeah, I can't believe I even have friends that aren't racing fans at this point, but the ones that aren't racing fans, they never ask me who I like in the Preakness. Very rarely will they ask who I like in the Preakness or the Breeders' Cup. They want to know who I like in the Derby. And more often than not, we don't cash, but when we do, we make it count.
All right, we have to get to another break. When we come back, we'll have just a couple of minutes left to get you set for hour number 2. Again, it's a busy second half of the program, and we're going to tell you all about it on the Equine Forum, on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events. I'm back with Dr. Jim Chiappetta from Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Jim, why are we seeing more horsemen around the world using Flair strips?
Mike, I think more horsemen are realizing the simple fact that breathing easier is critical for horses' health and performance. When running, horses are bringing in about 10 bathtubs of air every minute through the narrowest part of the airway that collapses at speed. What the strips do is support the tissue in that region so it collapses less, so horses bring the air in more efficiently.
Breathe easy with Flare Strips. FlareStrips.com.
Introducing the Spendthrift for 2016 Pallas, the multiple grade one winning millionaire and fastest son of leading sire City Zip. Pallas proved to be a leading sprinter in North America in 2014 and 2015, winning such New York staples as the grade one Forgo Stakes, grade one Vanderbilt Stakes, and grade two True North Stakes. Pallas is set to retire at season's end to Spendthrift. For more information on Pallas, call us toll free at 888-816-8787. That's 888-816-8787.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is the finest premium Western Timothy and alfalfa, direct from Washington State. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in Central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Learn more by following Washington Hay Company on Facebook today.
Jude Feld, the pontiff of the Pick Four. You hear him on HRRN Radio. Now get his personal selections directly from him at his new site, PopeJude.com. Every analysis sheet at PopeJude.com has his personal selections and insights. Each page is a handicapping lesson packed with years of racing knowledge, coupled with insider information gleaned from the pontiff's countless connections in thoroughbred racing. Whether you're looking for another set of eyes on the past performances or inspired racing analysis to assault the windows, PopeJude.com is the site for you.
HRRN's newest show is Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, Mike Penna and Christina McManigal will bring you exclusive interviews with the best jockeys in the business. Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, on Sirius 220 and XM 206. Go to horseracingradio.net for more information or to listen live.
Hi, this is the Big A, Anthony Stabile, inviting you to join me for Express Bet Radio on HRRN. Tune in for live racing action from around the country every Wednesday through Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern. It's the place to be on your drive home, through the final furlong of your workday, and for all fans of the sport of kings. It's Express Bet Radio on HRRN, on Sirius 220, XM 206, and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, it's Ian Wilkes here, and you're listening to HRRN Radio.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They are stacked across the track. Meanwhile, Bold Quality is stopped in behind horses. So too Dothraki Queen. Meanwhile, Bold Quality went way to the outside and Dream Dance bumped with her. Nonetheless, it is wide open. Seven can win it, furlong to go. And here's Dothraki Queen. Dothraki Queen snuck through toward the rail. Bold Quality is running after her, though. Here comes Bold Quality running after Dothraki Queen. Dothraki Queen, Bold Quality. Dothraki Queen up the inside to victory. Bold Quality was second. Dream Dance was third. Farther back, Decked Out, or a soundly defeated Just Wicked.
Dothraki Queen winning the Pocahontas at Churchill Downs. Travis Stone with the call. We're going to see her back in action this afternoon in the Grade Two Goldenrod at Churchill Downs, and she breaks from post position number 9. She is 5-2 on the morning line for trainer Ken McPeak, and she'll try to run her record to 3 wins from 5 lifetime starts if she can pull it off later today. And of course, Ken McPeak coming up with us in just about 5 minutes from right now. Looking forward to that visit as he sends out 2 horses in the Goldenrod with Dothraki Queen and with Cold Dish. And then he saddles Rated R Superstar in the Kentucky Jockey Club at Churchill this afternoon, along with a host of others. I believe there's 11 horses that Ken McPeak will saddle on that program today. So he's going to be very busy. And Big A, looking forward to that visit coming up in just a few minutes.
Yeah, Dothraki Queen, I made a cold exacta with her behind Songbird, and I think she should have been second in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. I guess we could talk to Ken about that. But yeah, 11, and just keep in mind that this is that Stars of Tomorrow card, so there are 11 two-year-olds that are in for McPeak today. So, you know, even if the cream of the crop, it hasn't shown itself yet, who knows what Ken has in store? You know, 8 other horses running non-stakes at Churchill today. There's got to be a diamond in the rough somewhere there, you would think, because Ken always seems to be on that Derby and Oaks trail in the early going for the Derby and the Oaks.
Yeah, and of course he won the Kentucky Jockey Club with Repent. You remember that day, so he knows a thing or two about winning that race. He also saddled Kathman Blue to win the Goldenrod a few years back, so he knows a thing or two about winning on this day, and he's really he had a great Keeneland meet and starting to heat things up over at Churchill Downs on this closing weekend as well. So looking forward to Ken McPeak coming up in just a few minutes. Mike Dianzaris from Embrace the Race will be here with us as well. For the past couple of years, I've made it a point to have Mike join us right after Thanksgiving to talk about what you can do for that horse racing fan on your list. You know, sometimes we try to come up with that perfect gift. And if you have somebody who's as passionate about horse racing, certainly as we are, Embrace the Race is the place to go. Because, first of all, the quality of the products are second to none. And the uniqueness of that product and that brand and that logo really speaks to what horse racing is all about. And it says that, you know what, you're a fan of horse racing. You're not just a fan of one horse or one trainer or one particular race. You're a fan of the whole sport. And that was the whole idea behind the logo, and it is classy, it is beautiful, and you can be proud to give somebody a gift from Embrace the Race. So we'll talk to Mike coming up right around 9:30 Eastern time this morning, and then, of course, Big A and I will spend a little time handicapping some of these races, trying not to steal a little thunder from the Express Bet Weekend Stakes Preview, which is up on our website right now, but we'll touch on a couple of those races, and I'll share my thoughts as well. We'll do it all coming up in the second half of the program, right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End.
The 37-year wait is over. American Pharoah is finally the one. American Pharoah has won the Triple Crown.
Songbird is just rolling past the eighth pole, has the lead by six. Rachel's Valentina is in second, but there is absolutely no stopping Songbird.
Beholder, once again, is just making this look so easy. It is Beholder in an absolute canter, being geared down late by Gary Stevens. Beholder in a formality.
Stop Charging Maria, short lead. Stellar Wind is fighting on. Stop Charging Maria just keeps battling back. Stop Charging Maria wins the Longines Breeders' Cup Distaff.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Anthony Stabile.
Hey, welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum, a busy post-Thanksgiving edition, and happy to have you back with us. To everybody listening worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net, everybody tuning in throughout HRN Nation on Sirius XM Channel 93 and on affiliates across the country and even streaming live on the Horse Races Now app, we welcome you back to the program. If you did miss any portion of the show in the first half, you can go back to our website, horseracingradio.net, and check out the podcast of this program and all of our shows. They're there for you at horseracingradio.net. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, in our Lexington studios. Jude Feld enjoying a little time off with the family this weekend. So the Big A, Anthony Stabile, is sitting in from Aqueduct up in New York. And we now turn our attention to our next special guest, and a very busy day for him at Churchill Downs. That is trainer Kenny McPeak. Not only does he have three horses to saddle in the graded stakes, two in the Goldenrod, one in the Kentucky Jockey Club, but he'll be responsible for saddling, I think it's 11 horses today. Kenny, is that right?
Well, we scratched one of them, but yeah, it's a busy day. This is typical. Every year they write these races on this day, and we're pretty active because I buy a lot of young horses at auction for my clients and my partnerships. Then this time of year, this is a pretty big focus. And by this time, a lot of them are ready, rolling to go. And we learn a lot today on how good they are.
How great are these programs that Churchill puts together with all these, strictly two-year-old races? You have maiden races, you have allowance races, you have stakes races. Share your thoughts on this type of a day.
Well, I mean, I think it encourages horsemen to buy young horses, and I think that's a really good thing. You know, the claiming game's great for some people, but I think young horses are certainly the foundation of for my operation. And I think it encourages a lot of other trainers to get more actively involved in whether it's buying yearlings or two-year-olds at auction. And I've been pretty much doing that for a long time, so it suits us. But I hope that these other guys are going out there trying to find the type of horse that wins on a day like today.
Kenny, it's Anthony Stabile. You talk about buying these horses at auction, the young horses, yet you don't really seem like one of these guys that's consumed by winning the Derby, even though you're a Kentuckian. Is that just a business model kind of thing, or are you secretly consumed with winning the Kentucky Derby?
Well, I mean, you try to buy the kind of horses that people can get a, you know, return on their investment. And whether it's a colt or a filly, no, I'm not obsessed on whether it's a colt or a filly. You know, winning the Derby would be nice. I've been kind of what I call around the bullseye in that race, but there's a lot of other more important races. And the truth is that we, you know, it's been kind of a down year in stakes company or stakes winners for us, but we've been second and third in a long list of them. So we've been, same thing, kind of around the bull. But, you know, you've got to go to these auctions and you've got to think, you know, I'm going to buy a horse for somebody. They're going to be paying out for an extended period of time. And they need a horse that's got enough talent that they can think that they're going to get, you know, a return, you know, win and some excitement and maybe even some cash in the bank and some positive. The Philly today, Dothraki Queen's been a huge hit for us. And we've had others before and we'll have others later.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Dothraki Queen, because I was going to start with your two fillies in the Goldenrod, Dothraki Queen and Cold Dish. They're kind of on opposite ends of the spectrum in terms of what they've been able to accomplish so far in their career. Let's start with Dothraki Queen, and she comes out of that effort in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies, a good third-place effort. Share your thoughts on that race, Kenny.
Well, she's extremely consistent. She got stopped a little bit in the middle of the turn, or I think she may have been second. In the Breeders' Cup, but the winner obviously is just a freaky good filly, and you know, this more opportunity to knock down another graded stake for her here today. But Cold Dish, this is a filly that's doing extremely well. She hasn't shown near the talent that Dothraki Queen has, but if you would ask me who's doing better going into the race, I think Cold Dish is. You know, Dothraki Queen's her old self, you know, she's just very professional, but Cold Dish is like shining new money right now. The question is she talented enough? And you don't answer that question until you try.
She's owned by Toby Keith's Dreamwalking Farms. What's it like to train for a guy like Toby Keith?
That's great. He leaves you alone. You know, he sent me a couple of horses in the spring, and this is one of them. We've got another, a Tale of the Cat colt that's had some problems. We had to geld and things like that. But Toby's super. You know, he gets it. The guy really deserves a good horse at some point. He's been trying to kind of step up his program. And he runs a lot out in Oklahoma and I think Texas. And he's got a few horses here in Kentucky with some other guys too. But he's fun and loves the game. Absolutely loves it.
He actually won one on the Zia Park Land of Enchantment card. We had those races on Wednesday. Getting back to Dothraki Queen, Kenny. She's had a pretty, I don't want to say she's had a long campaign, but she's run some ultra-tough races this year, and she's a versatile kind of filly. Talk a little bit about her coming to the end of her season now and maybe even looking ahead to next year with a filly of this type.
Well, we freshened her going into the Alcibiades, or actually the Pocahontas, which she won. So she had a couple of months in between that race, and I think a month in between is more than enough for most horses. She is going to get time off after this race and likely a good solid 2 months. And then I don't anticipate that I'm going to run her again until probably March. And, you know, she's extremely quick, but she is not a very heavy filly. She's a light, leggy, very refined filly, but extremely intelligent. And and got a real attitude, which we love. And she kind of reminds me of Take Charge Lady, not as big as Take Charge Lady was, but a similar body, similar package.
Yeah, I guess you're allowed to have a little attitude if you're named after the Queen of Dragons, right?
Exactly.
The Queen of Dragons.
This well, we had Kenny on ExpressBet Radio, and for the folks out there that don't know, well, I'll let Kenny tell. Kenny, tell everybody who this filly's named after.
Well, for those who watch Game of Thrones, the HBO series, she's named after the Queen of Dragons. I can't remember her name.
Daenerys Targaryen, the mother of the dragons, the Khaleesi. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's a really cool series if you haven't watched it. Some people we don't have anything to do in the evening, so we get it wrapped around these HBO series. I bet Anthony's watched The Sopranos before, but anyway,
once or twice.
Ken McPete joining us on the Equine Forum presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Speaking of names, you look at Cold Dish, and this is a 2-year-old daughter of Icebox out of Dishtown. So appropriately named is Cold Dish in the Goldenrod. And as Kenny mentioned just a few moments ago, maybe even coming into the race better than Dothraki Queen. How about the Kentucky Jockey Club, Kenny, with Rated R Superstar? Talk to me about him.
Well, he's a really fast colt. He got left completely flat-footed in the Breeders' Cup, which we were extremely disappointed. He only gets beat 5, maybe 6 lengths, and nothing went right. We kind of anticipated that he'd break sharp and he'd be on or near the pace, and when he didn't get out of the gate, it was kind of game over. We did some gate work in between. He's an easy horse to keep, and like I said, extremely fast. I'm not sure in the long run or in later in his career he's going to run long. He is probably more physically and pedigree-wise a sprinter, but we've been able to stretch him out, kind of reminiscent of a horse named Noble's Promise we had a few years ago that really was bred to be a sprinter and routed really well for a period, and then you gear him back down and as they get older. We did that yesterday with the Truth or Else. He's starting to shorten up too, but it's a good colt, and he'll get a break after this race as well.
You know, Kenny, when I handicapped this race for our ExpressBet Weekend Stakes preview, as a handicapper / gambler, I watched some of Rated R Superstar's replays and have seen his races. Obviously, it's not often that you get saddled with post 12, and it might be a blessing. Do you think this horse runs better when he's outside of horses? Because to me, it looks like he's a lot more comfortable when he's outside.
Well, he at this stage in his career, that's hard to say. But the one race at the Breeders' Futurity, he drew the inside. And we were commit or not situation. And we committed. And he ran his race early and didn't finish. On the outside, yes, he can stalk on the outside. You know, how they unfold going into that first turn is always interesting. Races are won and lost every day going into the first turn. And if he has a smooth trip to the first turn, that'll dictate, how he finishes, I think.
Ken McPeak here on the Equine Forum presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Kenny, how much time do you actually spend planning out the campaigns of all of your young horses? And I guess what I mean by that is, okay, if the ultimate goal is indeed to get to the Kentucky Derby with a horse that you feel is that caliber, are you sitting down now at the end of November and saying, okay, we want to go here, and if he runs well here, we're going to go to this spot and then this spot? Is it that much of an exact science?
In all honesty, no, it's not. We take it week to week. You've got goals, and when you have to nominate, you have to make those decisions. But it's a week to week process. We'll go over the group, and I'll set a work schedule for each horse, whether it's at Churchill or Keeneland or even in Saratoga or up at Belmont. But we will try to work a lot of horses Fridays and Saturdays, and then we work them in company where we get an idea of who's working well against who, and then I'll mark races typically Monday or Tuesday, and then we've got a board that we use, it's a progressive board where we have 3 weeks that we can look at in advance, and then we can mark race dates. And it's very artistic. I mean, you can't plan too far ahead. You have to kind of go with the flow on it. Sometimes horses take you to races, but you certainly cannot force them into a race. They have to go there on their own, and it's all timing, and it's all how they're doing, and if they're on the peak of their game, and everything falls in place.
What's your plan for the winter? Where will you go?
Going to be a very, very light winter. I am going to send a division to Oaklawn. I'm going to leave a division here in Kentucky at Keeneland for the winter, which is somewhat rare for us. And we're going to lay up a lot of the horses. I've got, probably 30 that I want to just give a little R&R. You know, of course, I've got my farm here in Lexington, which I'm at now. And we've got 40 babies that have been broke or are being broke right now here. And those babies will be brought into the main racing stable during the course of the winter and into spring. But my goal is to have a solid winter at Oaklawn, not going to press it so much. And then we'll be coming out, double-barreled, raring to go by March, April, May. And but December, January, February, very light. We're going to have a good holiday here in Kentucky. We've even debated on, taking a trip to South America for a period. I've got a lot of good friends and connections in Brazil and Argentina that I want to visit. And it's not going to be very hectic. It's going to be slow. And I've got a new baby in the household. I don't know if you
really
knew that.
I did not know that.
Yeah, my wife gave birth on November 9th, so I've got a newborn.
Congratulations.
We're going through a few sleepless nights, but she's coming along really good. And it's priorities. That's what really matters. Horse racing is a great game, and it's a wonderful career, but it really is just a job. So we're going to try to take some perspective.
Yeah, well said. Baby girl, I take it?
Yes, baby okay. girl named after my mother who passed away years back. Some of you that don't remember, I took a season off. My mother was terminally ill, and that was one of the things. And I named our daughter after my mother.
Well, he has his priorities straight. He's trainer Ken McPeak, and it's going to be a light winter for him, and rightfully so. At least you say it's going to be light. It'll be light at least on the horse racing side, but that little girl is going to keep you guys pretty busy.
No question.
All right, Kenny, we appreciate the time, my friend. Go enjoy the rest of the afternoon. Good luck today at Churchill, and we'll be watching and appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Ken McPeak, like all of our guests who appears on the program, is going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It is the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can embrace your passion at embracetherace.com. How about that? I mean, you talk about a guy that is really putting things in perspective there, Big A. I mean, that's a great story. I was not aware that she had already given birth, so that was nice to hear. I knew she was pregnant. I knew she was due sometime in November. I didn't realize that it actually happened, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I didn't realize that she was pregnant either. Congratulations to the McPeaks. I'm still stuck on the fact that you and the boss don't watch Game of Thrones.
No, I have never seen. I know what it is. I've heard of it, but I have never once watched it. So when you came out with the queen thing or whatever it was with Dothraki queen, I had no idea.
Oh yeah, great show.
See, I learned things when I do the show with you.
Exactly. Oh, that's why I'm here, Baron. Binge watched it in 3.5 weeks in 2014.
Really?
Now I'm caught up, and oh yeah, a phenomenon. And I'm not. I know I have the physique to binge watch things, but I don't normally do a lot of binge watching. I was complete, and that was around Breeders' Cup time. So it was literally watch Game of Thrones, do Breeders' Cup work, do the radio stuff, and that was it.
Yeah, I'm the world's worst.
That's how I spent the month of October.
Yeah, when it comes to movies and it comes to television shows, I'm probably the world's worst. If you ask me any question about an actor, an actress, whatever it might be, I'm not going to know for the most part, right? I'm clueless, unless it's like Robert De Niro or somebody like that or Sylvester Stallone. Am I dating myself now?
I can't wait to see Creed. So
I heard it's very good.
I've been on lockdown. I won't hear anything about it.
Yeah,
I'm trying to get out there this week.
But I just realized last year, my wife and I, believe it or not, just realized that NCIS was a pretty good show. I thought it was a new show.
I'm not a crime scene guy. Christine, of course, my girlfriend, is obsessed with Blue Bloods because of Donnie Wahlberg. We're big New Kids on the Block fans around here. On New Kids on the Block, I should say. So, but yeah, but the Game of Thrones is something that if you guys have, I know we really don't, but if you guys ever have like a month and you want to start something new, the new season starts in April. So you got 5 seasons, about 50 episodes, 50 hours. Believe me, you will not, you'll be happy. You'll be happy you listen to the Big A for once.
All right. Yeah, I'll have to check that out. All right, it is time now for your Blood Horse News update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Well, the big news coming out yesterday, FNX lands the grade one in the Clark Handicap. Tribone Stables FNX capped his big season in a big way, November 27th, holding off defending winner Opportunity by 3/4 of a length in the $500,000 Clark Handicap at Churchill Downs. Favored at odds of 5-2 in the 9-horse field on the merits of his runner-up finish, last out to Triple Crown winner American Pharoah in the October 31st Breeders' Cup Classic. The 4-year-old New York-bred son of Mineshaft collected the first Grade 1 victory of his career for trainer Jimmy Jerkins. He also won the Grade 2 Suburban and Grade 3 Excelsior Stakes this year, placed third in the Jockey Club Gold Cup, and was fourth in the Woodward. Hall of Fame jockey Mike Smith has been in the irons for the past 2 outings. And that is your Blood Horse News update for this morning. For more industry news and headlines, simply head on over to BloodHorse.com. You know, you have to feel good for a horse like FNX, who has really shown up every time he's gone to the post this year. You heard me run through some of the races in which he was close, and now to see him break through in a grade one is well-deserved.
Yeah, no, and there was a big race yesterday because at one point you thought like Opportunity was going to run by him, and even that time to spare from the Uzbekistan connections,
yeah.
88-1, he came up the inside. Keen Ice ran out of real estate. He was gutsy yesterday, and after a year in which he danced a lot of dances, had that mishap in the Brooklyn where he had some dental issues and had to be pulled up, and you know, Jimmy Jerkins, who, you know, we talked about the roller coaster earlier, of course, lost his dad, the great legendary Chief Alan Jerkins, back in late winter, back in March of this year, and now to grab another grade one with FNX. And, you know, Jimmy's really done a fantastic training job with him. And, I mean, his owners, Tribone and Russell Cohen, the real character. So, you know, just look at the name of the horse. It's a real good story, and you know, people forget he's a New York bred, and that New York bred program that we have here in the Empire State is really, it's on another level right now.
Yeah, it really is. It's been outstanding, and to see so many New York breds competing and winning in these big races outside of New York this year with open company has really been refreshing. And it's not just this year, it's been building for a couple of years. But, you know, Jeff Canizzo and all the folks there with that New York breeding program just do one heck of a job. And a shout out to the New York bred program because they really are on a roll. We're on a roll here this morning, too. We've already had a chance to talk with Christophe Clement in the first half of the program. We had a chance to catch up with Kenny McPeak just a few minutes ago. And now looking forward to Mike Dianzeris from Embrace the Race, who is going to be with us to tell us all about the perfect gift for the horse racing fan on your list. He'll be here in just about 5 minutes from right now. But before we get to that point, we want to tell you that as a 13-time leading stud farm, Lane's End has a proven track record of turning young stallions into leading sires, like The Factor, the top freshman sire by a yearling average that's 15 times his stud fee. Or Union Rags, a grade one winning 2-year-old and classic winning 3-year-old who became the leading freshman sire by a weanling average in 2014 and whose first yearlings realized up to $460,000. Then, of course, there's Twirling Candy, 2015's leading freshman sire by winners and 2-year-old average, and Quality Road, the leading first crop sire by earnings and greatest stakes winners in 2014. When it comes down to it, Lane's End stallions are made for success. To learn more about breeding opportunities, simply visit lanesend.com. Anthony, our show is going to wrap up here at 10 o'clock this morning, but you certainly aren't done for the afternoon, my friend, because you're back at 2 o'clock Eastern with exclusive coverage of the Grade 1 Cigar Mile. You'll be joined by Acacia Courtney live from Aqueduct to provide that coverage from 2 to 4 Eastern. And we'll remind people that they can tune in worldwide on our website, on your smartphone, your tablet, all there for you at horseracingradio.net.
Yeah, looking forward to that. I love the Cigar Mile, one of my favorite races every year. We'll have the Comley as well, a couple of allowance races sprinkled in. The top of the broadcast, we will recap both the two-year-old stakes here in New York, the Demoiselle for Phillies and the Remsen for the Colts. Should be an exciting couple of hours here today on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The Baron, Todd Pletcher, has 3 of the 7 entered in the Demoiselle. They're all by Uncle Mo.
Well, and not only are they all by Uncle Mo, Todd Pletcher knows a thing or two about winning the Cigar Mile. He's done it on 4 different occasions. No trainer has won more Cigar Miles than Todd Pletcher. So he's one that is extremely dangerous in there whenever he saddles a horse. So we're looking forward to seeing how that turns out later on this afternoon. And, of course, you remember the Great Cigar for which that race is named. He won the race in 1994. Of course, then it was known as the Aqueduct Mile. They renamed it the Cigar Mile in 1997 to honor the great Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I was here that day. Be Devil is Due. Devil is Due in all favored. Mike Smith had ridden Cigar in the allowance win the first time Bill Mott ran him on the dirt here at Aqueduct. Mike Smith had ridden him. Mike Smith decided to stick with Devil is Due. Mott reached out to his main man, Jerry Bailey, and the rest, as they say, is history. That was the second race in his remarkable 16-race win streak. Remember it like it was yesterday, even though it was a little over 21 years ago.
You know, you never would have heard a Cigar if Holy Bull stayed healthy, right? You know that,
right?
Here
we go. Here we go with this nonsense
right
now.
You know, I'm telling you, that win streak would have never occurred if Holy Bull stayed healthy. First of all, he would have never won the Don Handicap, right?
Stop.
Do you agree?
Just stop.
I'm telling you.
Stop.
This is a fact.
Are you kidding me?
I am stating facts here.
That, just stop.
You know Holy Bull was the better horse, right?
Oh, my God. Stop. I don't want to hear you with Holy Bull, and I don't want to hear anybody with Skip Away. The horse of the 90s was Cigar. That's it. Can't wrap. That's the way this, I don't want to hear the people with Sunday Silence and Easy Goer.
He was only the horse of the 90s because Holy Bull was injured.
Please.
That's the point I'm trying to make.
There's no point.
You're right. I'm just stating facts. You're right.
There's no basis. 16 in a row. 16 in a row at 11 different racetracks. 16. Middle of the night in Dubai. First horse to do it. Please.
Must I remind you, as game as a racehorse could be, the great Tom Durkin. That's a quote from Tom Durkin in winning the Travers Stakes, holding off a future Breeders' Cup Classic winner in concern.
Now you're hitting it. Now it's a low blow because you went to Durkin. That's not right. That would be like me quoting Michelle to you. What are you doing? You can't do that to me.
Yeah, I can guarantee you one thing. Holy Bull was the better stallion.
He was a neat little... You see, that's just... They would take points off your card for that if this was a boxing match. That's just not right. Ed DeRosa and I had a great little debate about American Pharoah and Cigar a few weeks back on the call-in show. When the bell rang, Cigar showed up, and that was it. Now, I'm not saying Holy Bull didn't. Holy Bull never had... Cigar never had a Kentucky Derby effort like Holy Bull had. You don't see that on Cigar's card. You don't see some of the races that Skipaway ran on Cigar's card. The bell rang and he showed up. 20 races in a row. That bell rang and he showed up. He didn't win all of them. But when he got beat, there was a reason, and he always showed up. 10 for 10, Baron. American Pharoah couldn't go undefeated in a season. He got beat by a horse eligible for an A other than N.
But he also won the Triple Crown.
I'm not saying he didn't. What I'm saying is, and as great as American Pharoah was this year, it's that hard to finish off these perfect seasons. It's that hard. And he didn't finish off a perfect season in which he stayed home, in which he didn't travel. He went and danced every dance from Oaklawn to Massachusetts, the Big Apple, California, everywhere. He went where the races were, and he won them all. In 1995.
Yeah, well,
one of the best things I've ever seen.
Mike D'Antaris from Embrace the Race is standing by, so we're going to get to him in just a moment. We have a commercial break to get to first, but before we go to the break, I'll just let you know that Holy Bull wouldn't have lost to Darren Goh. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Lane's End.
And they're off to New York. The premier state-bred program in the United States. When you own a New York bred, your horse can run for more than $44 million in purses restricted to registered New York breds. And the New York program pays awards to breeders, owners, and stallion owners when their New York breds finish first, second, or third at New York tracks. We have the quality.
Day at the spa, all the way.
You have the opportunity. New York breds, get with the program. The best program.
I'm here with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how do you value a horse for insurance?
Well, Mike, it's easy to value a horse when purchased out of a public auction. The insured value would simply be the auction price. But insuring homebreds can be a little more involved.
How so?
Well, factors such as a stud fee, confirmation, pedigree, sales and race records of siblings, even popularity of the stallion all come into play.
How closely do you work with owners in determining a horse's value?
Well, the owner has a pretty good idea of the horse's value, so generally it's just a matter of agreeing to the request and having the policy issued.
For all your equine and general insurance needs, including farm owners, liability, homeowners, auto, and more, contact Joe Brown Nicholson at NicholsonInsurance.com or call 859-224-7080. That's 859-224-7080. Nicholson Insurance Agency.
Power.
Caracondi, the favorite in front. The Spaniard News Arcanarius is fighting back. Caracondi has won.
Passion.
Prestige Vendome is making him fight all the way towards the line. It's Caracondi winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Caracondi with a rush on the outside goes Vanham. Late run from Anodol. Caracondi, Anodol. Caracondi.
Gainsway is home to North America's leading sire, Tappet, and is proud to announce the addition of multiple Group and Grade 1 winner, Caracondi. One of the leading juveniles in Europe, Caracondi won the Group 1 Grand Criterium with a time form rating of 115, and at 3, he scored impressively in the Group 1 French 2000 Guineas and stormed home to win the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Mile at Santa Anita. Caracondi, standing at Gainsway.
Power. Passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Inside the final 16th, it will be three in a row for Lochte. Here's Lochte moving away to win the Tropical Park Handicap by 3.5 lengths.
Lochte sat just off the pace and rolled to a 4-length victory under jockey Matthew Rispoli to win last Saturday's Tropical Turf Handicap at Gulfstream Park West. The Grade 1 winning son of Darley Stallion Medaglia d'Oro recorded his 9th lifetime win and pushed his career earnings to $755,000. And his stylish win in the Grade 3 Tropical Park Turf makes him your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Everyone remembers Medaglia d'Oro's Rachel Alexandra, and who can forget his newest star, Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner, Songbird? Well, the beat goes on, as Lochte became the 21st stakes winner and 12th graded or group winner for Darley Stallion Medaglia d'Oro this year alone. To learn more about Medaglia d'Oro and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
FNX up alongside of Race Day. And these two turn for home together. Opportunity swings wide for the stretch drive. Looks to spare with a big effort down toward the rail. Keen Ice is trying to pick through the pack. There's one furlong left in the Clark. FNX with a narrow lead. Race Day looks to spare down inside. Opportunity keeps on grinding on the far outside. 16th to go. It is FNX in front. Opportunity final try. Keen Ice from way behind. Here's the wire. FNX has won. FNX on to victory in the Clark. It's going to be tight for second. Keen Ice, Opportunity, and a huge effort from Longshot looks to spare.
Travis Stone bringing them home in yesterday's Clark Handicap. We talked about that race a few moments ago. FNX getting the victory for trainer Jimmy Jerkins and carrying that New York bred banner to victory here in the Bluegrass. Mike Penna in our Lexington studios. Anthony Stabile is positioned at the Big A Aqueduct, which is appropriate because he is the Big A, and he'll be joined by the Little A this afternoon beginning at 2 o'clock Eastern for our exclusive coverage of the Grade 1 Cigar Mile. You won't want to miss that. 2 to 4 Eastern, you can listen exclusively on our website, horseracingradio.net, which means you can stream us on your smartphone or your tablet anywhere that you may be. So you don't have to be out of touch with the Cigar Mile. We have you covered here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Next Saturday, we'll have you covered for the Claiming Crown. All that coverage presented by Kitten's Joy standing at Ramsey Farm. And it begins at 3 o'clock Eastern next Saturday as Jude and I make our way down to Gulfstream Park in Hallandale Beach, Florida. This show will be live from Gulfstream, as will all of that coverage in the afternoon. So make sure you circle that on your calendar. Several special guests coming up live from Gulfstream next Saturday. Mike D'Anzaris is with Embrace the Race. He is the president and the founder of that outstanding organization and great product. And I talked a little bit about this earlier before we segued into hour number two, that if you're looking for the ideal classy gift for that racing fan on your list this holiday season, you need to visit EmbraceTheRace.com. And Mike, really do appreciate you spending a little time with us, my friend. This has become customary on this weekend the past couple of years, and I know our listeners really enjoy hearing about these outstanding products.
Good morning, Big A. Good morning to you. Happy Thanksgiving. And I guess officially we can say happy holidays, right? Because they're often shopping in the shopping world, as they say.
Well, they are off and shopping. And look, when I say that, I don't say that just because, you know, you're a friend of mine or because you're a sponsor of the program. But I'm sitting here now with my Embrace the Race cap on. And so many of the products that we've had the privilege to give to people over the past couple of years with this partnership have just been so great. And you created some special glasses for us that we gave away at our sponsor appreciation party right before Breeders' Cup. Everybody loved them. And I feel so good when I hand somebody a gift with that Embrace the Race logo on it.
Yeah, Michael, it's great to hear. And, you know, I'm proud to say that that's the feedback that we just get time and again is people, you know, they get wrapped up in the elegance and the movement, the class of the logo. They get wrapped up in the emotional nature of the phrase, Embrace the Race. And then, you know, let's face it, racing people have been waiting a long time to have their own brand to say, hey, this is our brand. This is our world. This is what we do. This is what we believe in. And we want to wear that brand and show the world that, you know, we're racing people. And I think that's what time and again people come back and tell us is they love the quality, they love the style, and they love the fact that, you know, as much as it's worn at the track, frankly, it's worn, case in point, with your party. It's worn and used, you know, infinitesimally more, if you will, away from the track, which is what everybody wants, is to say, hey, I love racing, and this is what I do, and I'm going to wear it with pride and style.
How are the Black Friday numbers, Mike? Do you guys get affected by the fact that the racing, it's a big day of racing, so a lot of people are predisposed with the PPs as opposed to doing some shopping? I know I did some shopping, but I was working too.
Exactly. Yeah, no, it was great. You know, we're so much of what we do is kind of a multifaceted approach. We have certainly our company store headquarters in Saratoga. We have the online embracetherace.com People can also shop over the phone. We do a lot of custom shopping, a lot of custom orders. So people can email us, embrace@embracetherace.com, and set up appointments to do shopping. So it was a busy day yesterday. We were able to enjoy Thanksgiving and, you know, get ready for what is a busy next couple weeks. So it's exciting to see the shopping that that people do in the way they think of our brand.
You know, Mike, I have several Embrace the Race products at my house, and, you know, you've been kind enough to give me a couple sample shirts. I bought a couple of shirts and jackets that I've really liked. We've actually got the HRN caps made up, which I just mentioned a few minutes ago. They have the Embrace the Race logo on the front of them, and they are absolutely spectacular. But when people come to you looking for a gift for somebody that's a racing fan on their list, what are some of the top products that you find people gravitating toward?
You know, I think it's that's a great question, Michael. I mean, obviously our caps, our jackets, our polos, but, you know, over the past couple years, our line of products has expanded. Men's ties, the beautiful ladies' pendants, both silver and 18-karat gold that are just stunning. So, you know, as much as we all talk about racing, we know that there's as many, if not more, women that are employed in racing, that love racing, that are fans of racing. So we've got great ladies' sweaters and jackets. We've got some beautiful new three-season vests, the glassware collection. It's really an array. We're building more. We're going to have a line of ladies' dresses for the spring next year. It really is across the board. I think what we do, whether it's online or in person or over the phone, is really just listen to what the shopper wants. You know, if it's a group event, what, you know, if it's a farm, a stallion farm, a racing syndicate, you know, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to, you know, give a gift? Are you trying to promote yourself? Whatever that is, and then we can work and create something. But it really is across the board. And the pendants are absolutely stunning. Silver, one silver, one is 18 karat gold, and they're absolutely gorgeous.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, Mike. For those of us that are overflowing sexy, like myself, what do you, what type of unique, maybe non-apparel gifts are there for the big racing fan in your life?
Yeah, so the pendants are great. You know, they're just gorgeous. The glassware has four or five different types of glassware. We've got pins, sterling pins. We've got men's money clips, belts. It's really a full array, and it's fun and exciting to see not only to whom we're shipping, but where we're shipping. Michael, you and I traded emails, but you know, as you know, we hit the big 5-0, as we call it. We've now got customers in all 50 states around the country. We've got customers overseas in Europe and Asia and Australia. And, you know, as we all know, there's, racing is a big, big industry. It's a big sport. And the loyalty and the excitement people have about racing is really second to none. And we're so proud and honored to be able to help people celebrate that thing that they love, which is racing.
Well, before we went to the second half of the program, Mike, I got talking about Embrace the Race, and I got talking about the logo, because the logo is so unique and so beautiful and so classy that when people see it, they really want to wear it. And I've often said, and you and I have had this conversation, that it really speaks to the fact that, you know what, if you're wearing that logo, you're a fan of horse racing, not just any one horse, not just any one stallion, not just any one trainer or jockey or owner. You're a fan of the sport of horse racing, and I think that really resonates with people that are racing fans. Is that fair?
I think you're right on, Michael. I mean, we've got some combination, as you and I have talked, of really good and really lucky to create a logo, and anybody who's ever done any brand development or logo know you got to have some combination of that. But I think more importantly, we were very, very specific in what we wanted to do. We wanted to create a logo that was elegant, that was classy, that was an element of sexiness, gender neutral, and said horse racing without screaming it. And really, I think time and again, people tell us, they just walk in our store, they send us emails. We love it. It's perfect. You nailed it. You nailed it. But I think the more exciting thing, Michael, is where that translates. As you said, it's kind of like a field of dreams thing. They see it. They get wrapped up in it. They want to wear it. And I think what we've highlighted as part of our brand is that if you're a racing fan, this is for you. If you believe in the memorable moments, the excitement, the beauty, the aura, the elegance, the allure, the mystery, the what if, the possibilities of racing, which everybody listening today does, then this is your brand. And this logo embodies it. Our brand name embodies it. And this is your brand, and we're proud to help you celebrate all of those intangibles that draw people to racing 24/7, 365 days a year.
Yeah, and we'll just remind you that Mike D'Anzaris, who's joining us now from Embrace the Race, is not just somebody who came up with a product and is selling it to benefit horse racing and to benefit himself. He is also actively involved in supporting this business and this game. Mike, you've owned horses. You're at the racetrack each and every day at Saratoga. And yep. I know you really are a huge fan of this sport, and that is the driving force behind everything that you have done. And we'll remind people that they can support you and support Embrace the Race and really get a great product for the racing fan on their list. It would be a huge hit when they open it on Christmas Day or whenever it might be. And they can do that by visiting embracetherace.com. Is there another way that they can keep in touch with you or order products, Mike?
Yeah, embracetherace.com. They can also call our store right in Saratoga, which is 518-580-4500. And then we've got our customer service line email address, which is very simply embrace@embracetherace.com. So many ways to get in touch with us, many ways to shop. And you know, what do you want to give someone on Christmas morning who's a racing person? Give them racing's brand, Embrace the Race, right, Michael?
Well, there it is, no doubt. And again, embracetherace.com is the place to go. Mike, we appreciate it, my friend, and all the best here over the next couple of weeks, and we'll look forward to catching up soon, and say hi to Jill and the kids for me.
All right, Michael, you guys have a great holiday. Happy Thanksgiving and happy holidays to everybody out there. It's a great time of the year.
You got it. Thanks, buddy.
You too, Mike.
Thank you.
And Mike D'Anzaris, like all the guests who appear on the show, going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race.
It's like cannibalism.
Yeah. Well, I get, he's not getting a gift. We're not giving him one. How about that?
Want to send them a big A pen? We can send them a big A pen.
I'll come up with something. I'll come up with something special for him. I don't know what. Yeah, big A pen works. Send him that.
All right.
All right, it's done. We're going to take a look at some of the big races here in just a minute. Yeah, I had no idea where to go with that one, by the way. We'll take a look at all the big races after our next commercial break. But first, before we get to that break, it is time for your monthly update, the KTA-KTOB spotlight segment. And when you talk about the KTA, the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association, and the KTOB, the Kentucky Thoroughbred Owners and Breeders, you talk about Kentucky breds, and you think about what the Kentucky Bred program entails. And how about this? Just take a look at Breeders' Cup. In the 2015 Breeders' Cup here at Keeneland, right in their backyard, 11 of the 13 Breeders' Cup winners were Kentucky Bred. Think about that. Aiden O'Brien, who talked about Kentucky Bred American Pharoah, had a quote, and he said, "But let's take our hat off to the winner, American Pharoah. You won't see many things in your life to rival what he has achieved." Powerful statement from Aiden O'Brien regarding Kentucky Bred American Pharoah. And then you look at what's happening in Europe, and three-time Group 1 winner Air Force Blue, who was voted the Cartier Champion 2-year-old in Europe, bred in Kentucky by Stone Farm. Kentucky Bred's getting it done, not just in the Breeders' Cup, not just here in the Bluegrass State, but worldwide. It's the KTA, KTOB monthly update segment, and it's all brought to you by KTA and KTOB. We'll get to a break. We'll come back and take a look at some of the big races on tap this weekend, including that Grade 1 Cigar Mile. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back.
Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Click, order, eat. The new way of ordering Jimmy John's Freaky Fast, Freaky Good Sandwiches is a trend that's sweeping the country. With me tonight to discuss this amazing phenomenon is Ed Stephanopoulos.
Hello.
America's favorite sandwich delivery guy.
That's not entirely true, Bob.
Excuse me?
Technically, all Jimmy John's delivery guys are America's favorite sandwich delivery guys, not just me.
I see. Okay, but we're here tonight to...
Actually, what I just said wasn't entirely true either, Bob. See, some of Jimmy John's delivery guys are actually delivery gals.
All right, so now we...
Or women, or ladies, or females, or persons of the non-male gender.
Ed, could we...
Although I guess that would be a mouthful.
A what?
I mean, if I had to say America's favorite sandwich delivery women or ladies or females or persons of a non-male gender.
Okay, let's say that regardless of whether your Jimmy John's sandwich will be delivered by a guy or a gal...
Or a woman or...
The fact remains that now you can order that sandwich online using Jimmy John's amazing Click Order Eat system.
That's correct, sir.
And what would you say is the basis of that system, Ed?
The what?
The basis, the essence, the sine qua non.
It's Click Order Eat, Bob.
Moving along here, Ed, what would you say has made Click Order Eat so wildly popular?
Well, what do you think, Bob?
It's freaky fast.
Bingo, Bob.
Click, order, eat. Jimmy John's freaky fast new online ordering system.
You sound just like a commercial, sir.
Hi, this is the Big A, Anthony Stabile, inviting you to join me for Express Bet Radio on HRRN. Tune in for live racing action from around the country every Wednesday through Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern. It's the place to be on your drive home, through the final furlong of your workday, and for all fans of the sport of kings. It's Express Bet Radio on HRRN on Sirius 220, XM 206, and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net.
Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton.
And we're going to kick things off with trainer Graham Motion, Hall of Fame trainer Phil Mott here on Trainer Talk. Roger Atfield is going to be with us for the next half an hour. Carl Nasker, an honor to have him on the show tonight. Hall of Fame trainer Shug McGahee, nice enough to spend some time with us. I want to welcome Hall of Famer Bob Baffert to the program.
Trainer Talk, the biggest names in horse racing. Wednesdays, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern on Sirius 220 and XM 206. And always streaming live at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, this is Jockey John Court. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Moving toward the quarter pole, and Cigar is the leader. It's Cigar in front. Storm Tower second. Devil Is Due right there third. American Chance is now fourth on the outside as the field turns for home, and it is Cigar. Cigar coming to mid-stretch with a five-length lead. Devil Is Due second. American Chance, and then Punchline on the far outside. They're coming down to the final 16th, and Cigar running a monstrous race today to win the Naira Mile.
Are you happy now, Big A?
Yes, very much so.
Does that make it all good?
Not all good, but we're getting there.
By the way, the HRN Nation agrees with me. We got a tweet that says that I'm with you, Mike. Holy Bull was the man.
From who, Michelle?
No. No.
Please.
I'm telling you. All right, anyway, we're not getting back into that little discussion again. But, by the way, that was Cigar winning the 1994 renewal of the Aqueduct Mile. Tom Durkin had the call, and it was an impressive win. And, as you mentioned, part of that outstanting win streak put together by Cigar. And the Cigar Mile now named in his honor. That comes up this afternoon right here on the network. Post time is 3:50 Eastern. Anthony, you and Acacia Courtney will have the coverage beginning at 2 o'clock Eastern time, from 2 to 4 Eastern. And people can tune in worldwide on our website, their smartphones or tablet, with our live streaming all provided at horseracingradio.net.
Yeah, it'll be a great day. We have the Cumley as well, a couple of allowance races. We'll go over to Demoiselle and the Remsen. Great day of racing. Can't wait. Good field of seven, including my buddy Tonalist.
All right, let's spend a moment talking about that Cigar Mile, and let's spend a minute talking about Tonalist. I know you're probably going to pick him on top in here, but he's going to have to run down the defending champ, the very speedy Private Zone, who looks to join Congaree as a two-time winner of the Cigar Mile.
I feel like Marking from the inside, Mike, has to go and use his speed early on, and I think he'll press Private Zone just enough, a combination of Marking pressing and Private Zone maybe being a little over the top coming off a very tough Breeders' Cup sprint try when he was second to Run Happy. And like I said earlier, I don't think he's going to have his racetrack. Keep an eye on the track. It's very important. Keep an eye on the racetrack here at the Big A today. If it's an if it's a speed-biased racetrack, Private Zone definitely has an edge. If it's not, I think he's in deep water today. I think Tonalist picks up the pieces. I could see Clamont running 1-2 here. Red Vine, one of his best races, came at the one-turn mile here at Aqueduct, which, again, is not two turns. It's one. And Matru is an interesting one for Chad Brown. He's run six times in the U.S. He's a perfect 4-for-4 around one turn. His two defeats came going long at Keeneland and Monmouth. The one turn really seems to be his cup of tea. I think Matru could get the number as well.
You do anything? What about Mishawish? I talked about Todd Pletcher having won this race a record four times. Here's a horse that has been, well, primarily a turf horse and a very good one, and now trying the dirt here in this one-turn mile. What do we do with Mishawish? Does he have a chance?
I'll tell you what. They've gone so far as to look ahead to even talking about maybe a tilt in the Dubai World Cup. So they must be thinking he can dirt. I just find it funny that he's run 20 times, save one start on a synthetic surface. It's all turf. He has a dirt American pedigree, Medaglia d'Oro, out of a Thunder Gulch mare. So you would think that this would have happened sooner rather than later, and later being, like I said, November of his five-year-old year. Yeah, if he's 10-1, I'll probably use him in my tries, but I have a feeling he's going to get a ton of money because it's Pletcher and Castellano, and people almost has the feel of the wise guy horse coming into this Cigar. So the odds may dictate me leaving him off my tickets, but yeah, he wouldn't be a surprise.
Well, if you missed any portion of our interview with trainer Christophe Clamont, who does have both Tonalist and Red Vine in that Cigar Mile, you can go back to our website, horseracingradio.net, and check out that interview after we go off the air here at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. He was really good in talking about both of those runners, and if you're looking for a little insight into that Cigar Mile, that would be the way to go. All right, Big A, let's move on to the Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes. Now let's do the Remsen first, actually. We'll stick with Aqueduct, and we'll talk about the two-year-old races, but we'll start with the Remsen, and, you know, here's another really solid field in here. How'd you see the Remsen?
I have been waiting for Shug McGahee to put a pair of blinkers on Sail Ahoy, and that's exactly what he's doing in the Remsen. He's a half-brother to Point of Entry, so a lot of people think his future is going to be on the turf. I disagree. I like this horse's running style on the dirt. I think the blinkers are certainly going to help. I think the mile and an eighth and the two turns are going to help his cause. Mohamed has been very impressive for Kieran McLaughlin. Cost $2.2 million. This horse is near and dear to Kieran's heart. He trained the mare, Just Whistle Dixie. Adds Lasix off of an impressive Nashua win in just the second start of his career. He'll stretch out as well. He's by Tappet. The two turns shouldn't be a problem for him. Those are the two I'm looking at. Chad Brown has a pair in here who figure to take some money, but I like Sail Ahoy. I'm going to play him to win and make an exact box with Mohamed.
Yeah, Chad Brown with both Flexibility and Gift Box, and 3-1 on Flexibility on the morning line. Gift Box at 4-1, but the favorite is Mohamed for trainer Kieran McLaughlin, and you mentioned Sail Ahoy, who is a good, solid value for Shug McGahee under Joel Rosario, 6-1 in that Remsen later today. The Kentucky Jockey Club comes up as race 11 at Churchill this afternoon. 5:35 Eastern is the post, a mile and a 16th on the main track. Field of 14. How about this one?
This is an interesting one. Your favorite's gonna, your morning line favorite is Aeroforce. He's never even seen the dirt. He's run three times for Mark Hastings on the turf. He's adding blinkers and switching surfaces. He's already been around two turns a couple of times, which is in his favor. Another horse that's been two turns, my top selection is the four Gunrunner. Perfect 2 for 2 for Steve Asmussen. Source made up ground. Came home in 24-1 in his maiden race, the final quarter. That's a solid time for a two-year-old going a mile in his debut over the course of Churchill Downs. Followed that up with an allowance win at Keeneland around the two turns. He looked even better at Keeneland. And he was really in hand. He never broke out of a gallop. I think this horse is going to work out a hell of a trip from post four. I think he'll be right off the first bunch of speed, make the one run. If he's anywhere near that morning line of 8-1, I'm going to take a nice punch on Gunrunner today.
Well, of course, you and Ellis Starr had the chance to visit again yesterday on the Express Bet Weekend Stakes Preview, which folks can listen to live every Friday afternoon from 6 to 7 Eastern on Sirius 220, XM 206, and streaming on our website. That show is podcast every week on our show, on our website as well, so people can go back and listen to the selections for every race, not just the three that we just talked about, but every greatest stakes race coming up this weekend. And we'll encourage people to do that at horseracingradio.net.
Yeah, 10 races in all, another solid hour on the Express Bet Weekend Stakes Preview last night. Go listen to the podcast.
All right, this afternoon, 2 to 4 Eastern, join the Big A and the Little A, Acacia Courtney, as they bring you exclusive coverage of the Grade 1 Cigar Mile. Next week, reunited with the Pontiff of the Pick 4 as we move down to Gulfstream to bring you our exclusive coverage of Claiming Crown, opening day of that championship meet. Want to say thanks to all of our guests for being here this morning, including Christophe Clement and Ken McPeak and Mike Dianzaris from Embrace the Race. Big A, been a fun show.
Yeah, it was great. Pleasure was all yours.
Of course it was. You got to work with the A-team today. Welcome to the big leagues, kid. All right, we're back next week. But for now, because nothing good comes of deviation, go Steelers.